Good morning, it's Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Pleasure to have you with us. Coming up next, we're going to talk about those TV programs or movies on TV that your parents didn't want you to see, but that you furtively watched. How did you do it? And what were the shows that you watched in private? I think we all had that. That's coming up later this hour on Air Talk here on KPCC. But right now, we talk about the challenge musicians face who want to go from just doing solo home performances. YouTube, of course, is full of those kinds of performances. Some of them of amazing qualities. The audio not particularly great, and interest may fall off. But for some, they're returning to stages and are recording, but with distancing. So how challenging is it to do that, from getting the cues, from staying in unison, to not being nervous when you perform, nervous about getting COVID-19. I'd like to hear from professional musicians who have returned to group recording. What's it like? And what kind of music are you making? Is it of comparable quality to pre-COVID-19? 866-893-KPECC. And this can be in the studio. This can be concerts from homes, but with multiple musicians. It can be from stage, the LA Phil doing concerts from the stage of the Hollywood Bowl with the musicians distanced and with Gustavo Dudamel conducting himself. 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. With me is Mark Sazer, a violinist with the Pasadena Symphony and the Pasadena Pops. He's also a studio recording musician and president of the Recording Musicians Association. Thank you very much, Mark, for joining us. How much work have you been getting back performing with other musicians?
Well, first of all, thank you so much. There's been a certain amount of work. And if you'll indulge me, I was listening to your previous segment, and I represent tens of thousands of musicians who were told by guidance counselors and advisors as children that that's no way to make a living. We totally depend on being able to work in professional circumstances in order to have homes and families and cars and middle-class lives. So it's not just a hobby, and it's not just a source of pleasure and beauty and life, although it is all those things. But it's also just a livelihood.
Yeah, so true.
My studio job before the pandemic was March 1st. I played on a session for the TV show Empire, one of the very last sessions. Wow. And after that, everything got shut down. And, you know, the LA Philharmonic was shut down. All of the theaters were shut down. Musicians were really completely thrown out onto the street, including those of us who work in film and TV scoring and other kinds of recording.
And has any of that scoring work resumed, or are you still, because I know animation is still being done and there is some production going on. Has that allowed you to return at all for work?
Yeah. So the first step that happened was we actually, with the RMA, we actually worked with the Musicians Union, the AFM, to provide some flexibility to allow for the employers to have us remote record, just record as individuals. From our home studios. And it's a kind of recording that somebody who's a guitarist or a drummer, a rhythm player that works in records is used to, but for violinists and bassoonists and percussion players and, you know, sort of the orchestral musicians who score the TV shows and films that people see, it's a whole new world. So my next job after that last session of Empire was actually a remote recording session for the same TV show, where the composer for that show, Phil Eisler, was particularly committed to providing employment to musicians who'd you know, been put on the shelf. And it's a very, very difficult process to suddenly be playing a section part as a soloist. So it's pretty tough to actually put a score together that way.
I can only imagine. And in person now, is it happening?
It is. So we kind of jumped on looking at what it would take to go back to the scoring stages safely. We put a little working group together with Local 47, the Musicians Union here in Los Angeles, and we started having Zoom meetings. We met with the engineers and electricians who work on the scoring stages. We met with the directors of the scoring stages. We met with an infectious disease specialist. We had a town hall with the percussion players in Los Angeles. And then we ended up with Local 47 meeting with SAG-AFTRA and other unions, as well as the RIAA, and ultimately working with the state of California and LA County.
Okay.
And we put together a series of protocols to go into a scoring stage safely that they signed off on, and we've gone back to work a little bit.
And so with those protocols, which I'm assuming include plexiglass barriers and distancing, what are the challenges in playing in that environment?
So the very first session that I participated in going back to the scoring stage was at Fox. I think it was July 14th. We began the scoring for Free Guy, an upcoming 20th century film, Fox film. It was only string players on that particular session. So what's become kind of the safest way of recording is separate out the strings, the winds, the brass, the percussion. And in the case of the string players, we didn't have plexiglass barriers, but we were all separated by 6 to 8 feet distance between us. And there were a whole set of procedures of having our temperature taken and having a healthcare questionnaire at the door and having to wear masks the whole time. And it's quite an adjustment.
I can only imagine. What about being able to take the cues and to... I don't know if you're playing to a click track or what, how the cues are coming, but is that different under these protocols?
Well, it's not. We do play to a click track generally, although not always. And so the engineer who's in an isolated booth is responsible for making sure that everything is synced up properly, and that all seemed to work pretty well. Acoustically, it's a very different feeling because if you go to the Pasadena Symphony, for example, you'll see that string players are sitting two by two. There are two cellists on a music stand, two violists on a music stand, two bass players and two violinists on a music stand. In this new era, everybody has their own stand. So as a player, you don't feel as connected to the players around you. But it's an adjustment that we made, and I have to say it was such a pleasure and joy to be in a room of my colleagues, of really, my musical family playing again.
I can understand why you would savor it so much more having been without it. Not just the financial part of it, of getting a paycheck again, but obviously it's what you've devoted your life to, and to be able to do it with others, that had to be a great feeling.
It's a joy. And unfortunately, it's still a very rare joy because since production hasn't really ramped up, there isn't an awful lot of material being scored, but there are a certain number of TV shows. You mentioned animation, so the next Minions film was also scored this last month, as well as, there have been a couple of other movies. There was one film in particular, Tenet, that's just been released, the Christopher Nolan film, was actually, the whole score was recorded using remote recording.
Wow.
I didn't participate in that, but I know that people had a very tough time making that work, and we're thrilled that they made it work. And it was done with sort of the accommodation of the Musicians Union to provide some flexibility for it.
Was that is that a score with full orchestra?
They ended up using a relatively small orchestra and using recording techniques to make it sound fuller. I haven't actually seen the film yet, but I'm sure it's fantastic.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, Christopher Nolan, the director, his films have music is such an integral part. Well, all films, of course, but in his music is such a signature of it. We're talking with our guest, Mark Sazer, who's violinist with the Pasadena Symphony and Pasadena Pops, also a recording musician and president of the Recording Musicians Association. I want to hear from professional musicians what it's like for you to get back either on stage or in the studio under the COVID-19 safety protocols that all these different organizations have collaborated on coming up with. What is that experience like? 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I was out walking the dog with my family a couple of nights ago, and one of the houses on the street, there was a trio that was performing on the front porch, and neighbors had come up with their chairs. The music was even amplified, and they had a camera going. I assume they were live streaming the concert, and they were sitting there at a bit of a distance, even with a singer working with the group. 866-893-KPECC. Matthew in Long Beach, good to have you with us. What sorts of performances are you doing?
Yeah, my friends and I have been broadcasting every Monday in San Diego from a recording studio live on Twitch. And we're asking people that are watching to give us tips. And we've been doing this for the past four Mondays, and the bands have actually been able to make a decent normal wage as far as that goes. And it's been a great thing for everyone in the community to be able to have this opportunity to gig again. Just as a side note, we've been wearing masks 6 feet apart, and we've all been tracking in the same room.
You've been doing it, okay, same room, and their vocals a part of your band?
It's actually all instrumental band, guitar, bass, drums, and keyboard.
All right.
And, yeah, so no vocals and masks on all the time.
And have you seen your online audience grow for the concerts?
Yeah, every week we've been getting steady increases. Sometimes up to 50 people are in the chat. And it fluctuates from time to time, but it's been getting steadier and steadier over the past couple, the past month.
Matthew, appreciate it. Thanks so much, and we wish you all the best for your band. Mark in Culver City, I understand you're in a Rush tribute band based in the Valley. So you guys have been performing?
Yeah, we've been doing live stream on YouTube. We have our YouTube channel set up, and we did our first performance in July. That went pretty well. We had about 200 people show up online for it with a virtual tip jar like the other caller. And yeah, that's been going really well. We're about to do our next show September 10th, Thursday night at 7 p.m. And we've already got, I think, about 100 people saying they're going for that. So
that's great.
It's been a good thing. We all get tested to make sure that we're safe. We're in the same room together. But we make sure that we, you know, are safe that way by getting tested, you know, fairly regularly.
And Mark, you know, I think of Rush, I think of the intensity of the sound of that group. Are you able to generate that working distanced in the band?
Well, we are all in the same room. So, yeah, that's part of the reason why we make sure we get tested and we're safe so that we can actually be in the same room and perform with each other live.
So you're as close to each other as you were pre-pandemic physically on stage?
Enough room to be about 6 feet apart. So we make sure that, you know, that we are distanced while we're performing. But like I said, we do take the precaution to make sure that we're tested on a regular basis. I also have a family with kids, and you know, I run a restaurant as well as a side job.
Wow,
there's a lot of reason for me to stay healthy.
And where do you do your performances? Someone's house?
Yeah, our bass player Carlos, his house is up in the Valley, and he's got a nice little space carved out for us. We set up all kinds of lights and GoPro cameras with, I think we have 7 camera angles going on, and you know, high definition video. So it's a pretty good production, and you know, we're basically taking, you know, whatever tips we get and try to pull it back into the band and increase our production values.
Mark, what venues did you play pre-COVID?
We played a lot at Petey's Place up in the Valley. That was sort of one of our mainstays. And we were set up to play a festival for the American Foreign Legion, but that just got canceled right as COVID hit, unfortunately. But we were going to be the opening band for like a six or seven venue band set up for that. So it's been an interesting time, but we've been finding a way to try to capitalize it and grow our audience at the same time.
Mark, great that you're getting your fans to turn out to watch you online. Mark in Culver City, you're listening to Air Talk on 89.3 KPCC. Mark Sazer, violinist with the Pasadena Symphony and Pasadena Pops, also records on many different soundtracks and president of the Recording Musicians Association. So, Mark, You think anything here is likely to change before we have a vaccine, or is this, we're likely in a static place with recordings?
Well, for recording itself, for the kind of film and TV scoring, I think we're sort of inching our way back into being able to make livelihoods doing this. The problem is kind of illustrated by the two members of bands who just spoke. We're driven to make music. We're driven to share music, but we can't reach audiences. So as a member of the Pasadena Symphony, that live performance experience of you know, playing on stage and being able to make eye contact with people in the audience or feeling the audience as we perform, that relationship of live performance is just irreplaceable. And we're, you know, just at a standstill in terms of being able to have audiences for musical theater, for symphony orchestras, for ballet, for opera, for the whole world, for festivals and clubs and all the different kinds of ways that musicians reach audiences. So that's a tough one.
Mm. You know, I know the power of the symphonic orchestra as a listener sitting in the audience. You just feel that. I haven't played in an orchestra since I was in high school at Hollywood High and played in the Hollywood High Orchestra. But even, you know, with kids, you get that sense, even of, you know, amateurs of, you know, limited ability. You get the feeling of the power of the orchestra. I can't imagine that loss, what it is for you, Mark, of not being able to sit with your colleagues in Pasadena Symphony and Pasadena Pops on that stage, either at Ambassador Auditorium or outdoors with, you know, 1,000 people there or hundreds of people to watch. That's something that's irreplaceable until it comes back.
I know for the LA Philharmonic, they also, I mean, as members of every orchestra, they feel this deeply. And they recently, as I think you mentioned earlier, went to the Hollywood Bowl to use the wide open spaces of that stage and that venue in order to be able to perform for the cameras and the microphones. And from talking to friends in the orchestra, they had a similar kind of elation at actually being together and performing together, but that same sense of loss of not being able to have an audience and not being able to have that relationship with you know, other human beings who are participating by listening.
All right. I want to thank you so much, Mark, for joining us. Best of luck. Hopefully much more work coming your way, as well as your fellow members of the Recording Musicians Association. Violinist Mark Sazer, the Pasadena Symphony and Pasadena Pops. You can share your comments on the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. Coming up on Air Talk, the TV shows that were taboo, or you expected would be taboo with your parents, but you watched slyly anyway. What were those shows that caught your attention, which you knew you would have gotten in trouble for watching had your parents known? Maybe they did find out, and then what happened? You'll have to tell us. 866-893-KPCC. That's 866-893-5722. Back in 90 seconds on Air Talk.